Self-discovery radio, but the discovery of self is but a show away. With over 1,800 shows and growing, we bring you those liberating stories that help you on your own life's journey. From every single topic you can think of, the only common denominator is authenticity and living in your meaningful purpose. Come and read our new ebook, plus see our discovery store and what wonderful tools we have for you. Do enjoy our shows and don't forget to share.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest today is Davina Kerr. When you hear Davina and when you see her pictures and you look at her videos, you know this is a woman that lives life to the fullest. She feels it in every pore of her body. She says that she was born happy, and she's sexy and she's brilliant. But the sexy and the brilliance had to be something that she had to grow into. A statement that she has on Facebook, which I had to put up there, is, "The most destructive thing I've ever done was to believe someone else's opinion about me and my body." And that is so true. We allow other people to pass judgment, and in that judgment we start questioning ourselves. She hasn't always been happy, sexy, and brilliant. She's known abuse. She's taken that journey back to self-confidence. And as she says, self-confidence is the sexiest thing a woman can ever wear. She is fun-loving, flamboyant, straight talker. She's an author, entrepreneur, and international speaker. She's a student of life. Davina is the sexy goddess who's out to share her relentless optimism with the world and empower others into loving themselves. She was born and raised in rural India, and she fought to reconcile her traditional upbringing with her ambitions. Following to the end of her tradition, orthodox marriage, and free from life where she had to conform to others' expectations, she embarked on a journey of self-discovery, and that led her to start the Sexy Brilliant Revolution. And it is out of adversity, it is out of our own suffering, that we actually understand what our role is in life. So everything she's done has brought her to this point, to empower women into that beautiful, sexy, wonderful, vibrant self-confidence. So welcome to the show, Davina.
Thank you, Sarah.
So you had an arranged marriage. Immediately I'm thinking of another show we've got to do together with someone who went through that and now is a divorce coach. So that's immediate there. You two got some synergy. And, you know, we know in the past some arranged marriages have worked, but with an arranged marriage, there's never ever a connection to kind of really get to know one another or to find out if there is a synergy or a connection, you know, a love there. And very often, because it's just a kind of a process, there isn't the value of the woman in the life or the value of each other, is there? And that is, if you don't have value or respect for one another, how can you build on love? So tell us a little bit about that, you know, being in a marriage and then knowing, or how quickly you knew that this wasn't for you and you had to find a way out.
So that's a great question, Sarah. I had a semi-arranged marriage, and now, of course, you know, we're divorced, and for me, it was just it was kind of the wrong fit. He's a super wonderful human being, but as we were just not compatible together. And of course, one of the reasons being because I'm so fun and so flamboyant and not necessarily the traditional Indian woman.
Suburban.
Yeah. And that is very challenging for somebody who's very orthodox, mm-hmm. and old school in his values to put up with.
Yes. Yeah.
So we were just a misfit, and you know, my parents, who are just like, who themselves have been married for over 45 years and had an arranged marriage, you know, they've got their hands full with me.
Yes, yes. I can imagine.
Yeah, so it was just, we were just not a good match together. And that's the other thing, right? We're on this journey together, and we're constantly discovering more about ourselves. And it's so important that when we are in a relationship, we're evolving and growing together.
Yeah.
So, which was not what was happening with us. And so, of course, we've moved on, and I wish him all the best. We're friends. We're raising children together. And, you know, and that's how it is. So sometimes relationships come into our lives just to teach us for the moment, and they don't necessarily have to be a long-term, full-term for the rest of our lives, right?
Right. You know, they can be just a chapter in your life, you know, a chapter of self-discovery on both sides, right? So, you know,
exactly.
He needed somebody that was a little less flamboyant, and you needed somebody that knows how to grab life, you know? So, you know, it's not either one of you were wrong. You were just wrong for each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he's a super kind human being. And, you know, that's that. And there's just so much more that's happened since then. And life has happened. And, you know, I'm welcoming life as we're growing and evolving in this process.
Now, you obviously had an agreed divorce. Obviously, it wasn't nasty because you're still friends. And you, as you said, raising your children together, you know, as co-parenting there. But how was it in your community? You know, did you get, you know, ridiculed or spurned because of this decision?
Well, so it's interesting because my parents live in India and I, of course, live in Canada. And my parents were very supportive, and they knew that the relationship was not making me happy, and they wanted me, you know, they supported my decision to separate, and very, very supportive. My immediate family was very, very supportive, but it's, as a community, as a culture, the Orthodox East Indian, you know, the Pakistani, the Indian, the Bangladeshi, we're still in that old school mentality where, unfortunately, the rights of a woman and the rights of, you know, human beings are different. Like, they're not as accepted as they are out here in the West. So my immediate family is great with this decision, but my extended family and the culture, absolutely not. I'm a disgrace.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not accepted. And it's also very interesting. When we were going through this breakup and separation, I actually lost a lot of friends from the Indian community who just were not interested in being associated with me. So, you know, very interesting.
Yeah, don't you find that kind of, you know, I never get that, because if somebody cares for you, if they're your friend and they care for you and they know you're unhappy and they know that this is the best, you know, best way forward for you. You know, they can be sad that there's a breakup. They can even try, you know, can you go for therapy? Can you work it out? All of that. I understand that. But then to turn their backs on you, you know, and it's that's not friendship. I mean, it's at times like this you actually find out who the real friends are, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's also cultural, and we have, you know, we tend to judge other people because of the decisions they make and without knowing the full story. And I'm guilty of that as well. So it's very, very crucial that we kind of just go with the acceptance and acceptance of things around us and people around us.
On both sides. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, for you is to understand that they're so stuck in their culture that is the be-all and the end-all for them. And then for them on their side is to understand that this culture wasn't for you. And to appreciate that as well. So, as you said, for some people it works. You know, for your parents it worked. But it also is different times then, right? You know, now I'm sure you're a far more liberated woman than your mother was when she married.
Absolutely. You know, like, and it's interesting. I often hang out without a bra. So my mom who was visiting me recently, she's like, why aren't you wearing a bra? I'm like, just because it's more comfortable.
Exactly. Men, I challenge you to wear a bra for a day, and then tell me afterwards how comfortable that was.
Yeah, and then, interestingly enough, I visited my mom in India, and I saw her, like, she wasn't wearing a bra.
Exactly. I'm losing your volume a bit, Davina. If you could just come back up to your mic a bit more.
Yes. Sorry about that, sir. So my mom was hanging out without a bra at home, and I was like, why aren't you wearing a bra? She's like, it's so much more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know that I mean it's a silly thing we're talking about, but then it's you know, if you are a woman, and especially if you are a busty woman, which you and
Yes.
I are, right? And these things that are being hoisted in the strap all day long, they hurt the shoulders, they hurt the back, and that first thing you do when you get home is take that bra off, and it's the moment going on there. And if you're talking about women's liberation, it's right there. The bra is coming off.
Absolutely.
Flapping in the wind.
And you know what? Often it's interesting how we as parents, or my parents, have picked up things. I've taught my parents things, but going without a bra, or in my father's case, I'm teaching him more about being happy and laughing.
Yes. Yes.
So
Very,
we're
very
all in this journey.
important. A thing is, you are an exuberant person, and can imagine as a child, for your mum trying to rein you in. Why? Instead of reining you in, why not tap in? Because we need some exuberance. We need somebody that has that sheer joy for life. As you say in your video here, you were born happy. Things have
Yes.
happened to you. You've had some unhappy events in your life, but you choose to live in happiness. And what a beautiful gift to do so, because so many people are sucked in by the sadness and the sorrow that being happy is so elusive to them.
Yes. And you know what, Sarah? The I think for people who are listening to us today, it's important that I've had sadness too, and lots of heartbreaks, homelessness, lots of other events that have happened. The important thing is to accept every situation as is and find joy and bliss in what we are, whatever we are.
There's a
And that would
reason for
also
it, right? There's a reason for it at that moment. There's always a lesson to be learned from whatever happens to us.
absolutely, absolutely. And I say, actually, I say this, and I was talking to my therapist, and I'm like, my sorrows are sexy brilliant too. And she was laughing, and she's like, I've never heard that before. And I'm like, that's how it is. Everything is just as is.
Now let's define this word. Sex and sensuality. Very often, if you look at the raw meaning of sex, it's very much about the reproduction. It's a sexual act that you just do to reproduce, satisfy an itch or whatever. Sensuality is being tapped into all of our senses. When all of our senses are switched on, you become a very sensual person, and perceived then as a very sexual person. But we're not talking about fornication. We're talking about stepping into our sexuality as a woman and embracing that, being confident with that, because there is no nothing wrong with being a sexy, sensual being. It is not an invitation. It is a sense of being, of presence, isn't it?
Absolutely. And for me, it's been a journey. And it's an interesting you bring this up, Sarah, because for me, and I know this may be too much for some people, but I reached an orgasm with another human being at the age of 35. And just that, it's like, I grew up believing that sex was not meant to be enjoyed.
Right.
That only men like sex and women don't like sex,
Right.
or sex is part of the marriage and the culture
As
around
they say in England, close your eyes and think of Britain.
I don't think so.
It was a sacrifice a woman had to do to please her man. Held to that.
Thank you. And so as somebody who never knew the pleasure of sex and sensuality and orgasm with another human being until I was 35, it's interesting that I talk about sex more because I've gone through this journey, and I put up a recent post on social media on Facebook, and I said, I'm a woman who likes sex. And a lot of us women have sex because we like sex. Let's own the fact, let's
Yes.
own that we like sex, and that there it's absolutely okay to like sex and enjoy sex. And again, and sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
No, I mean that the whole thing about there is still this thing about if a woman can have consensual sex with one or more partners, she becomes the slut. But if a guy does mm-hmm. that, oh, you scored, right? And it's again another hell no. You know, is if we are adults, we are empowerment of our own body. It's our choice, and if we choose to have sex with people, that is up to us. No opinions are needed, absolutely, or expectation from other men, right?
And other women too. And I yeah. find, you know, as women, we are constantly looking down at women who talk about sex. And I get this. I get a lot of hate mail from women, mostly women, actually. And they'll be like, you know, how do you speak like this? I'm like, this is how it is. I am who I am on screen. I am who I am on social uh-huh. media. I am who I am at home. I'm the same person. And yes, I toned down my sexuality in front of my parents because they're very conservative.
Right.
But you know, when somebody will ask me, like, when was the last time you had sex? I'll be honest about it because I embrace my sexuality.
Yeah, but why do you have to apologize for? What do you have to be ashamed for?
Exactly. And again, Sarah, this is a cultural thing, right? Like where
Right, but it's not just a cultural thing. It's a sexist thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's a women's thing, you know. Like you see, you know, beautiful women out there living a life, you know, very sensually, very sexually, very much in power of their own body, you know, having a sexual life through their own choice. And one part of it is we're going, oh, cool, you know, like she's so empowered by it. The other part is then comes the judgment because you're a woman. We don't do the same to the men, so why are we doing it to the women? And very often, the women's judgment is worse coming from other women.
Exactly, it is. And, you know, a woman who is empowered is also empowered sexually, right?
Like yes.
There's emotional, mental, physical, but then there's also sexual.
Yes.
We're, you know, and we should embrace it, own it, and live it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm all... Go ahead.
You know, you're not out there every night, kind of, you know, grabbing anybody that's walking down the street, right? You know, it's...
Well, and actually, there's nothing wrong with if somebody wants to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, in our case, I know you have children, and you know I have children.
Right?
Safety first.
Yeah, exactly.
First.
Yeah. But also, it's also, you know, in using, you know, having sex with somebody else as an extension of your expression of life, as your enjoyment and pleasure of life, but also mm-hmm. to remember that sometimes people who have multiple partners are constantly looking for that sense of love and fulfillment and not getting it in that way. So when you are stepping up into that sexual world of inner freedom, beautiful and sensuality, it's got to come from the inside out, not something that you're seeking from the outside in.
And yes, and often, you know, as somebody who's, I've struggled with the dating addiction in my life. I've struggled, you know, with other addictions in my life. And I can only answer for myself and through the self-discovery that I've done is that when we are uncomfortable with ourselves or when we are looking for validation from, you know, we're searching for validation from the outside, I think that's when we're kind of going from a place to place, or in my case, a degree to another degree. And I have a food addiction too. So from food to food and relationship to relationship. And it's always been because I just didn't like who I was. I wasn't
yes.
in love with myself and I didn't know myself. And I think a lot of us go through that, right? Like we're constantly, we're not complete. We don't feel complete, but we're searching to be complete. And not realizing that the wholeness, the completeness is already within us. We just
yeah.
have to take it out from ourselves, work with it, and enjoy it.
We're so busy trying to please others' expectations, and I can guarantee you this. You can please, 10 people, but there'll be mm-hmm. another 10 that will be displeased. If you're constantly looking for approval and validation from other people for your existence, mm-hmm. you are always going to be disappointed. But when you seek that love and care and kindness towards yourself, then you actually live in that sense of exuberant joy and authentic happiness and that sense of love that you now resonate to others, that now is the signature that you wish to be communicated on. But to do it for everyone else, I'm sorry, you will always be let down.
Yes, and it's a process, right?
Yeah.
Like what I have now is different than what I was yesterday. And again, it's a constant journey. We're constantly evolving and growing in the awareness of ourselves and working on ourselves, right? Like, that's the hardest thing I've ever done, actually. Taking time to get to know myself and to know my likes and then to embrace it.
Yeah.
And say no to the wrong choices, right?
It's the hardest journey, isn't it?
It
doesn't matter what you've faced in your life or what what you've had to do, those ups and downs, the hardest journey is to go in.
Is to go in, and often we don't like what we see, Sarah.
Right.
You know, and that's very, very uncomfortable. And of course, I was, now I say this, that I can say this, is embracing our dark side is also part of the journey.
Yes.
We all have a dark side. So embracing the ego, the mind, the darkness is what brings light to our lives.
Uh-huh.
Walking hand in hand with the dark side and loving the dark side equally.
It's our shading, it's our definition. If we just were in the light, we'd be blinded. We need that contrast, right?
Yes.
And it's the ability to go back into the dark and see the light within it. We know right now, if you're going through dark times, all you can see is darkness and no light. And darkness can feel repressive and pulling you down. But when you take the journey up into the light, where the darkness is always that outline, that contouring, that shaping, you can go back into that darkness and see clarity and light and feel beautiful in there. So darkness is not your nemesis. It's the suppression of only darkness without light that is the problem.
Oh, Sarah, so beautifully said. And that's true empowerment. Like embracing the darkness and going within and befriending the darkness.
Yes. Yeah, and not beating yourself up or having any judgment. Guarantee you there's a dozen people out there who've got judgment on you. Last thing you need is judgment on yourself. When you've come to a realization that you've been taking a wrong path, this isn't a time to take out the whip and whip yourself. This is the time to go, oh, now I know better. I can make better choices.
Wow, that's so beautifully said. Yeah, and that is kind of like unveiling and living authentically. That gives us power to face adversity, right? Like,
yes,
just being so whole in ourselves and complete in ourselves that we seek less validation from the outside because we feel good from our own soul and body.
Well, from your own journey, in your own self-discovery, which, of course, this radio station is called Self-Discovery Radio, because that's what it's all about. There isn't anybody walking this planet that hasn't gone through some form of self-discovery. But in this discovery of self in there, and you are such, as you say, born happy, you are such an exuberant person, like you grab hold of life. And you love it. You ooze that. But you've known your dark times. But I can imagine, in all honesty, the dark times not being able to hold on to you because you're so exuberant, because you choose to live in happiness. I can't imagine the dark times being able to pull you down for very long because you are the light.
Well, yes, and we all have this in us, Sarah.
Yeah.
We can all be the light that we wish to see, right? Because we have, life is a journey where there's the up, there's the down, and it's a curve. It's constantly, sometimes it's the gap is very, very big. But then to accept the lows and the darkness and the unhappiness is okay too. And of course, when I've gone, I've struggled with depression and suicide and you name it, I've gone through it.
Right.
And And it's okay to do that, but to know that there's a way out of it, and then the only person who can get you out of your dark times, our dark times, is us. You know,
yes.
I am the change
that you seek.
I am the one who can make the change.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And this is also comes back to that we don't have to give the power away to other people, other things, substances, you know, alcohol, whatever it is. We can be the change. We have the power to change ourselves and heal from within.
Right.
Heal ourselves in the journey and then, you know, be happy, embrace it. We all have that. And keeping the inner child alive is very, very important.
Essential.
Yes, absolutely. And if I can say this, Sarah, when I was really, you know, having gone through the dark side, one of the things that my coping mechanism was I was choosing to laugh more and more because I was aware that something wasn't right and there was depression. And that choosing to make a small change about laughing and finding happiness or bliss in that the dark times is what got me out of it. It helped me heal faster. And now my daily goals are I laugh at least 100 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to say that, yes, I can do this. And looking for small excuses, the everyday silliness of just laughing at my own self and enjoying, you know, making a fool of myself. It's like kind of like there's joy in that, and that there's empowerment in that.
Right. It's lightening up. You know, I've got a motto up here right now, which is, you know, let us shake it up, to wake it up, to step it up, to change it up. And first and foremost, you know, we have to go through the shaking, you know, where everything kind of just shakes you out of where you are. And that could be, you know, the cosmic 2x4, you know, the throwing you into the darkness, the despair, the depression. And then it wakes you up. And in that waking mm-hmm. up, now you go, okay, you know, I'm understanding why I'm going through this transition. I'm understanding that shaking up was to let go of the old. You know, now mm-hmm. I've got to step it up into action in my own life, my own participation, to change it up to what I want it to be. But, you know, the thing is that you've got to be interactive and participatory in your own life. Because if you don't participate in your own life, nobody else is going to do it for you, right?
Exactly, yeah. And often, you know, like I'll say this, that when we see people around us, our good friends or family members going through a dark time, what do we do, Sarah? We give them a kind shoulder, we give them compassion, you know, we help them through their process, their journey.
Mm-hmm.
Why cannot we do the same thing to ourselves?
Thank you. Why? Why would we take the whip to ourselves and we give our arms to someone else? How about taking those arms and wrapping them around you?
Thank you. I'd like to give myself a hug right now.
Exactly. Everybody hug yourself right now. There you go. Right? And, you know, a lot of people kind of, so I'm going to go back to the sex thing, is that people think that, you know, sexuality or sensuality is all about sex. And they don't realize it is actually about a state of living life. You're living in that exuberance. You're tapping into all of the senses of life. You know, you're tasting the nectar. You're feeling the touch. You're participating in the vibration of life. And it is that sexual brilliance we're talking about isn't about sex, but it's about that exuberance of life that lies within us that wants to be set free.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And embracing it, embracing
yeah.
that sensual side, that feminine side, and by the way, men can also embrace their feminine side, which mm-hmm. means, you know,
it's
even
very sexy when they do, actually.
Oh, yes, it is. Okay.
Exactly, because it makes you more touchable. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that, you know, and just like we women, like. As human beings, we all have the male side and
yeah.
the female side, the masculine energy and the feminine energy. And the more balanced we are, the more accepting we are, I think the more empowered we become.
And you make a huge point here. We love a man to get in touch with his feminine side, because it's obviously something we could connect to, and it's something very, very central. He's very confident in his masculinity, but by embracing that femininity side, it just makes him even sexier. equally, though, a man who embraces the woman's strength, her yang, and is equally turned on by the strength as well as the softness of her, is now you really truly are embracing that true sensuality of that person.
And you know, and it's so powerful. Like I like a man who can wear and have the confidence of wearing a pink or a purple shirt. That is so
yeah. Come on, wear color, man. Gray's boring.
It really is. Yeah. And then, you know, like, successful people are people who have worked on themselves and have managed to balance both the sides. Yeah. And again, I think as for women listeners, it's very, very important, and I'm guilty of this too, that when a man shows his vulnerability or shows his soft side, we have to embrace it. We have to be accepting of people who are you know, discovering themselves, whether it's their feminine side or the masculine side. We want to be welcoming it. We want this to grow, and we want to be complete in ourselves. So let's allow the men around us to be the same as well, right? To go through this journey together.
You know, I've just had a Dr. Parti, P-A-R-T-I, and the first time I had him on, it was talking about how a very successful doctor, but the more successful he became, it was buying the very big house, the car, the everything, and then he had to work longer hours to sustain it. And then it was, you know, and realizing that, you know, he had no time to enjoy it. He was just becoming a slave to maintaining it. And then he had a near-death experience, which then he realized the true value of life and downsized and changed his career into more healing and health and a different way, and became more appreciative of life. A year later, I do a show with him where he and his wife actually broke up. He's East Indian as well, and they were you know, nearly 30-year marriage, and they broke up. And then one day they went out for dinner, and she looked at him and she said, "I like who you are. You've done some work on yourself. You've become authentic. You've gone in. I like who this person is." And they've got back together, and they're like honeymooners now. But they both respect each other's careers and space. But when they come together, they come together. And it's sometimes that's what's wrong with relationships. You're so busy living an outside life that you've forgotten, A, to take care of yourselves. And when you take care of yourselves and then you come together as two whole people, dynamite, right?
And it takes a lot of work to be able to say no to the things that are making us unhappy, right?
Yeah.
In my case, I don't think you know this, Sarah, but I'm an investment banker, and then I quit that job to walk dogs for a living.
Right. Doing something you love.
Well, exactly. And, you know, it was, and then, of course, from there, my business grew, and it was just, it's been a journey. But then the thing is, if I hadn't said no to banking, which was really making me unhappy, I was like slave to money.
Right.
But I wasn't content, and I wasn't like, you know, like, I was still not feeling good about making all this money, which is strange to say this. And then just to quit that and to walk dogs for a living, it was just such a big change. And again, doing that also, I lost a lot of friends, and a lot of people laughed at me. They're like, "What's wrong with you?"
Right.
I was like, "You will never understand this." Because, no.
Not true friends. You know, if they can't journey, not true friends. But
I think also people, the reason people judge us is because, one, they don't know the full story, and two, they also
haven't embraced their own journey.
Yes, you know, and that doing something different, in my case, you know, very eccentric, is kind of giving people a reason to look into their lives.
Yeah, so, and it's uncomfortable for them, isn't it?
It is, and that's why people will question, and they'll be like, you know, "That's just crazy. Like, this is absolutely crazy.
But no, think about it. What better when you're in your self-discovery and you're trying to heal and you're trying to find yourself, than to be around children or animals. Because they are the most loyal, they're the most honest, they're the most loving, and what beautiful therapy to put yourself through while you're in your self-discovery of a new direction.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it was so, you know, like for me, that dog walking career helped me lose weight. It was one way for me to, of course, you know, it was part of my journey. It is part of my journey. And then to embrace it, like dogs, cats, no judgment.
Yeah.
Like animals, no judgment. Everything is beautiful. And they just love you for who you are.
Yes.
And you know, it was actually, for me, it was great therapy to go hang out with animals.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I'm so glad I did that, because that is one of the reasons I got over my depression and, you know, my trauma much faster than,
yeah,
than other, you know, and this is what's allowing me to share this message of empowerment and transformation with everybody.
Yeah,
listening.
You know, the beauty of children and the beauty of animals is that they're going to do something 100 times a day that's going to make you smile. And every time you smile, there's a different endorphin that's released in your body, you know, a different spirit that's lifted up. And then you're reminded that it's those beautiful, simple moments in life that count. And that's really mm-hmm. where the true enrichment is. That's where the true brilliance is, right?
Exactly, yeah. And everybody's journey, you know, is very unique. And let's say if you're allergic to dogs and cats, obviously you can't, you know, you can't have that. But then maybe there's something different that you can do to take care of yourself and discover yourself in your own journey. And, you know, the less we judge, the less we pass judgment, the better quicker we heal. And I have the saying, Sarah, the way we judge others is exactly how we judge
mm-hmm.
ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, so that,
well,
that
is
what...
That's very important. That's very, very important, because we've been brought up to judge, isn't it? You know, like right from the word go. You know, I remember
mm-hmm.
being at a party, and this kid, I think she was about 6 or 7, saying that she didn't want to play with my daughter because she had short hair and she had long hair. And I thought, oh my God, this pettiness right at this age, that is taught. That is not how a child thinks. That is taught.
Yeah.
So we have to be mm-hmm. really mindful what we're teaching our children, because that is the baggage that they're going to carry with them and then have to release along the way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a child doesn't see another child as color or, you know,
no.
or anything. They just see another beautiful being that they connect with and they want to play with. So
mm-hmm.
we really do, I think, have to go back to that simplicity of looking at life from a different point of view and embracing that beautiful simplicity. And when we see people from the inside out, you know, that's when we really truly see the beauty of a person, right?
Mm-hmm. And to accept, you know, accepting ourselves, accepting others, accepting and being mindful of life and everything that we cross paths with. And, you know, to be able to know that, you know, when we are crossing paths with other people, it's because we're here to teach them and learn from them, and it's an exchange that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, this is a story that, of course, in this case, where the long hair, the short hair,
yeah,
it's us adults who teach our children,
yeah,
to be like that, you know.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and I think, but another thing that we could teach our children, which is also something we can do in our own self-discovery, you know, you went to dog walking, which became kind of your own therapy, you know, those smiles, that laughter, that love around you. But as you said, if people can't do the animals, the thing is go and be of service somewhere, go and volunteer somewhere. Because
oh, yeah,
your contribution of service to people who are in need, no matter what it is, soup kitchen, seniors, your neighbor going to get groceries for them, going out and making a meal for them, whatever it is, however big or small, the gratification that your soul and heart are going to feel from
mm-hmm.
making a difference in someone's life is nectar.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what, Sarah, the other thing that works for me is the gratitude.
Yes.
Every morning I wake up and the first thing I say is thank you to my dogs and my cats
mm-hmm.
for being part of my life.
Yes. 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 Big kisses, pull on the ears, rough the coats. Yes. Absolutely. I miss mine. She's passed on.
And I mean, actually, I say that to my daughter as well. I look at her and I say, "Did I say thank you to you for choosing me today?" And she laughs at me because she's like, "You're the craziest person I know."
Right. Well, you know, there's a young lady who was 9 at the time when I interviewed her. She's 10 now. Another East Indian girl, actually, and she's. She wrote a book, 365 Days of Gratitude with a Positive Attitude. And it was literally every day what she was grateful for, however insignificant or silly it was, the gratitude for it. And I was her first interview. And since then, she's kind of done the circuit for, you know, throughout Canada, throughout America. And she's just so level-headed. You know, she's just like, you know, if it doesn't make me happy, why do it? And if I can't bring happiness to other people, why, you know, why do it? And it's, I think this is what's so beautiful about our children and our animals right now, is they're resetting us back down to that simple thing of do it for the joy, do it for the gratitude, do it in gratitude of being of service. And that's where you're really going to get that feeling of contentment and love and satisfaction back, right?
And just, you know, the little things, the joy in the little things, like, we had a harvest, a big harvest of tomatoes, and I'm looking at these tomatoes and I'm like, there's just too many tomatoes for us. So I shared the tomatoes with, you know, my community, and then I just left things at people's doors because I had so much. and then I started getting thank you notes from people from all over, and they were like, thank you, you dropped off 4 tomatoes, but they just, you know, it was just such a big deal. I was like, you know, like, the joy of being able to share the abundance that we all have.
Yeah. And that is, but you know, that is also love. Every time you're sharing something with somebody, you're sharing love.
Yes. Yes. Oh yeah. And sharing this, you know, with doing this with each other is also a love and a way of giving, and then also receiving back. Right. Because people will, of course, connect, and usually whenever I'm on the radio or TV, I always get, you know, people follow up, and you know that, Sarah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so the sharing that, the universal abundance that we all have access to, starting with ourselves, our inner wholeness and completeness, and then sharing it within our community. And you know, for I'm a full-time single mother, and a lot of times people ask me, how do I manage, you know, everything and manage my family. My parents obviously live overseas and I don't have family here. And I'm like, I have access to people. People just appear in my life to help me so that I can go to work, so that I can do this radio interview with you today, so that, you know, I can make things happen. And they're like, how do you do it? I'm like, well, having zero expectations, but then also visualizing, you know, bigger things happening for ourselves.
You know what? You don't have expectations, but you have invitation.
How do you spell that? Invitation?
Invitation. You invite people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you don't expect people. You invite people. And it's of their own free will that they come forward. So you're invitational.
And you know what? The people I dropped off the tomatoes for, I'm sure if I ever need babysitting, emergency, I can count on these people.
But that's what community is about, isn't it? You know, I'm always saying this, we need to go back to the village mentality. Everybody has a role in that village, and everybody's role is important. And it's only how we support each other in that village that makes that village strong. And, you know, we've become so isolated where we close our doors and we don't know who our neighbours are. You know, there was a reason why picket fences and people talking over the fence was important. You know, you had the negative side where everybody was in your business, but you had the other side that they were there at the drop of the hat for you when you needed it, and you could count on your community. And we have to do that again, because we need each other. We're not meant to be isolated. That's part of the problem with us.
And I think we're going through a phase where we have access to so much, you know, like the social media, the World Wide Web, the internet. But this is the time when depression is at an all-time high as well, right? So it's just so important to kind of assimilate what we have around us, have, bring back the village, start with ourselves, you know, like, before I go changing the world, I want to change my own community, my immediate neighbors, my people that I can count on in case of an emergency, or even just for support, or, you know, like, yes, people are always coming in knocking at my door because, you know, but then if they bring me food, they bring me, like, there's just the village mentality goes on, and
yeah.
and then we spread it and we share it. And today we're talking about it on radio. And then,
right.
You know, I'm sure people who are listening in are starting to think about doing the same thing. So it's like, be the change that we wish to see in the world.
Thank you. And also, let's just understand something from a vibrational level. A lot of people are going through this depression right now. We're seeing a lot of catastrophic things happening in the world. This was all designed. It's all that shake-up I'm talking about. It's the waking of people up. We know as humanity that when there is a crisis, we step up. Right,
and but we come together.
But why do we only do it during a crisis? What we're trying to show people is that the world is in a crisis right now. Everybody's in a crisis right now. We don't need to just step up for the moment. We need to step up and stay there and be that change that is needed. And if you want peace in the world, first you have to find peace within you, because you are the peace that you bring, that peace of peace to the world, right? So it's understanding that a lot of this depression, everything that's happening right now, is because of this kind of shake up, this cleansing, but it's also that invitation for you to be a part of the solution. And then if you can step up and be there for your fellow man, you will find that joy and that camaraderie and that love within you that will then help you find your own peace.
That is so beautiful. I have to write that down. and you know what, Sarah? This is something that I learned from actually a book that I read. And it said, peace begins with myself. And then he's a doctor. He's a psychiatrist who healed a whole mental institution in Hawaii. And he says, peace begins with myself. So he says, hashtag peace of I. So
yes,
peace of I.
Yes.
Me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let the peace start with myself right now, right this minute.
I have actually here an ebook on Self Discovery Radio that my radio guests and contributed. And one of my contributors is Dr. Amelia Kemp, and she's a psychotherapist. And she realized through her psychotherapy that it was only addressing the mind; it wasn't addressing anything else. If we do not have our soul, heart, and spirit in the equation, you're missing out on three intellects. So she changed it and discovered sacral therapy. And it's embracing our sacredness, which invites the heart, the soul, and the spirit's voice in there. And if we listen from the heart, if we understand what the divine soul is saying to us, and we step up into spirit, our mind then knows what it needs to know when it needs to know it. And because we've got so caught up in just listening to our head, and our souls and our hearts are crying out to us, listen from your heart. The heart does not lie to you. Your heart will always be in truth. It will always guide your spirit into action. And that divine, you know, that gut feeling, I don't know why I know, but I do. That's the divine knowledge coming through to you. When you trust that, your heart, your head will always be guided. And we need to listen more from that in order to find that inner truth, that inner love, that inner beauty, that inner sensuality of life.
And that's also this is something that's developed over time, and the more we listen to our inner instinct, our inner voice, our gut, our heart, the stronger it gets.
Yes. Yes.
This is inspiration talking to us, right?
Right. Like, it's truth talking to you. You know, half the time that we're in a turmoil is because we don't know what's true and what's a lie. You know, we've been conditioned this way, that's the truth. And as we grow and we realize, you know, that shake-up, wake-up is happening, that lie that maybe once was a truth but is a lie now is not serving us. We let go of the lie and we embrace the truth. And the more you step into truth, the more you're stepping into love. And that truth is not somebody else's opinion. It's what your heart and soul is telling you.
Exactly. We listen to it and the stronger it gets.
Yes.
And that's self-worth. That's self-discovery.
Yeah. Well, as you say, you know, like self-worth and self-confidence is the sexiest thing you wear. And I completely agree with you on that. You know, when you see somebody And it's got nothing to do with the shape of the body. Why do people love Oprah Winfrey? It's not because she's rich. We've seen her take that journey, and she's done it publicly, into her soul awareness, right? Into mm-hmm. her wisdom. She's had her own ups and downs. She's had her own crises in life. She's had mm-hmm. her own battles with her body. And, I wouldn't say she stepped into her sexuality, but she's a sensual person where she's tuned in to her senses and how she wants to live. And we love her for it. We don't say, oh, she's not a perfect size body. She's not a perfect this, perfect that. I don't think we're in that zone anymore. I think we're in a zone where we're looking for the inner beauty. We're tired of just the outer beauty. We want the inner beauty mm-hmm. to come out.
Mm-hmm. And that's self-acceptance. And, mm-hmm. and you know, like people and men and trans people and everybody.
Yeah.
Like loving each and every part of ourselves, the dark sides,
yeah.
the good sides, the fat belly, or, you know, in my mm-hmm. case, the saggy breasts. I mean, that's perfect. My wrinkles, my stretch marks.
Right.
I mean, oh, so beautiful, so sexy, yeah. so brilliant.
Exactly. And of course, I was brought up with a lot of opinionation on my body. And, you know, the sad thing is when I look back at pictures of me, because I was a very curvaceous woman back then, mm-hmm. But had a very sexy body. And I look back then and I felt fat because I had a boyfriend who told me I was fat. I allowed somebody else's opinion to define me. And then, you know, now I'm not necessarily fat, but I'm more curvaceous. You know, I'm 63 mm-hmm. and I've got, talk about boobs going south, you know, probably wrap them up around my neck now, you know. But, you know, it is, I, as Popeye says, I am what I am, right? And yeah. and my curves have just got curvier. But that is the exterior of me. How about you love the interior of me?
Yeah. And also, you know what? Sarah, I would say I am fat. I own fat. And I'm not here to change myself because of somebody else's opinion,
right?
You know, like my fat is no problem. It's
but
me.
You see you on videos. You see you can hear it in your voice. You can see it in your pictures. You know, you completely wrap your arms around your curves, and you're inviting someone else to do the same. You know, you love your sensuality. You love your body. And if you love your body, then who else has got a problem with your body? That's their issue. It's not yours.
Exactly. And self-acceptance is sexy.
Yeah.
You know? So, absolutely. Oh, my God. So much.
I mean,
so
how many people do you know that are so skinny because they're watching every calorie and they're so miserable? Hey, baby, put on a few pounds. You know, love those curves. Eat something, for God's sake.
And you know what, Sarah? I struggle with food addiction and anorexia and you know, like... So, well, that's another show, by the way.
Right. But yeah, you had an image, right, that you were trying to portray, and food became your drug of choice, right? So mm-hmm. then there's the guilt of eating the food and the purging because you didn't love yourself. And then it was, you know, the desire. Sometimes some people simply have a healthy appetite for food. And it, mm-hmm. it isn't necessarily addiction or an escape. It's just that you love food. And that is part of your... you know, your passion in life. There's nothing wrong with that as long as it's within balance of everything else.
Absolutely. I mean, in my case, I used to eat my emotions. So
yes.
if I was unhappy, I would
eat. Chocolate, yes.
and I think a lot of us do that,
right?
Like, because we don't know better. And then the thing is, it all comes back to the more we've discovered ourselves mm-hmm. and learning to say no to the choices that are wrong for us, the more we accept and we, you know, we start loving ourselves more because of that. So, and eating and overeating or food addictions are very, very common, actually.
Yes.
And to anybody listening, please know that you're not alone. And
you're right.
You are loved, you know, like, it's okay. It's today. If this has happened today, remember that tomorrow is the day you can change.
Right.
You can change starts with yourself.
But it starts with that thought process of saying, I am willing to change.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
wanting to change. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we know it. People say, how many people listen to your show? And I said, I don't know. I'm more concerned of how many people hear the shows. Anyone can mm-hmm. listen, but how many people mm-hmm. are truly hearing it? Because when you mm-hmm. hear it, you're going to feel it. And when you feel it, you're going to be invited to act on it. I don't want listeners. I want hearers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. That's good. And, you know, and then again, everybody's journey is so different,
yeah.
so unique, and to accept that today, you know, what that even, and even for, you know, even for myself, what I am an hour ago is different than what I'm right now and what I will be.
And what you will be next, yeah, what you could be in a week's time, because that's the whole thing, isn't it? It's about, we have many, many chapters in our book of life. And, you know, and when you look back on your chapters and you go, my goodness, I've had a lot of interesting chapters there. And and that one particular chapter, I wasn't even sure I was going to get to the end of it. But look where I am now, and goodness knows what's the next chapter going to be. You know?
Yeah, bring it on. Bring on life. Right?
Yeah.
Like, bring on the excitement. And to know that, you know, the dark side, the unhappy times are part of journey, and it's okay to accept them and to actually also perhaps enjoy them.
Go through them. They're a part of the process. Go through them. Don't be afraid of it. You know, a lot of the times people are afraid of fear. Just fear itself. Not the attachment of what that fear is to, but just fear itself. You know, we've talked, and you know, I'm about to pack everything up here in Vancouver, BC, and just go to Toronto, because somehow it's telling me to go to Toronto for the next level of business here with Self Discovery Radio, which is the community side of it. And I need the people in Toronto. I have no idea who they are or where I'm going to meet them or what we're going to do together. But I know I've got to go. And sometimes you've just got to go with that gut feeling and everything else will fall into place. But the other side of me is going, shit, panic, right? Because I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know who I'm going to meet. I don't know how I'm getting there. But that's that leap of faith, right? Leap of faith, take it. Because it's also exciting.
It is. And Sarah, this comes back to, you know, what, you know, and I've heard this many, many times. 90% of the reason of being successful is because we show up.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
Just showing up is success. Just showing up in Toronto, not knowing anything, anyone, is success, Sarah.
Now, this is very interesting, because there is, you know, a scientific thing on body language, on that first impression. You know, that first impression is like snapshot photograph and how people are going to receive you. Well, 55% of it is how comfortable are you in your own skin? So many people go and put on that Armani suit and their jeans, people. Right? So they look uncomfortable in the suit. So you see the suit, you don't see the person. When you turn up comfortable in who you are, the clothes aren't wearing you. You're wearing. Right? You're in charge. 38% is the tone of voice. Is it invitational? Are you speaking to be heard? Right? Are they hearing you because your tone has set a presence for them to do so? It's only 7% of the actual words you say that is penetrated. If they haven't bought you in your authenticity, and if they haven't bought you in your tone of invitation on your voice, they're not going to listen to anything else that you have to say.
Wow, I did not know that, and that's something to look into.
Right, but that's the thing. You own it. You can see that by your presence. You own who you are. You are this exuberant person that turns up, who decides to be happy, to be sexy, to be brilliant. That doesn't mean you're it 24/7, but that is who you are in your core. And that's what resonates out, and that's what invites people to want to know you. And that's the confidence that you show. But you didn't just go off to the grocery store and pick up confidence. You had to take the journey to discover your confidence. But you were willing to do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the knowing yourself.
Yeah.
And then the awareness that, you know, that like in my case, changing the job, for example. Or,
yep.
And people have different, people are, everybody's journey is different. And it's important to appreciate what each of us is going through.
And you're in a discovery right now with your sexy, you know, brilliant program that you're doing. You know, with
absolutely.
Where you're going now, right? You've let a platform of what you want to do, but you're still in discovery of how you're going to do it and where you're going to take it. And that's exciting.
And I mean, it's so exciting. It's like, you know, I'm unveiling myself, and then I'm unveiling myself to the world, and that's coming back to living authentically. You know, I'm the same person in all aspects of my life, which is, you know, owning who I am and being unapologetic for it.
That's beautiful. Unapologetic. Why is it you have to apologize for life? I love what you say in your mission, in your sexy brilliant, sexybrilliant.com, folks. And, your sexy brilliant is a self-loving uprising which inspires and nurtures us to live an authentic, confident, happy life, overcome the limiting beliefs that try and keep us stuck, and become a beacon of light and love. That's why sexy is brilliant. And that is really it. It's when you step into that beautiful authenticity of who you are in an exuberance of life, of love, of wanting to participate in life and see the beauty of life and want to be a part of life, that is so sexy that it's brilliant.
Hashtag sexy brilliant.
Exactly. And it isn't about sex, folks. Stop worrying about sex. You can go and have a beautiful sexual life. But this is about stepping into the sexiness of life. And life is sexy. It is fun. It is beautiful. Go ahead. You go ahead.
And sexy is also daring.
Yeah.
Moving to Toronto is daring.
Yeah.
Different things is daring.
Especially in the middle of winter. I'm sure I'm not going to look very sexy in my big, huge down coat.
Absolutely. and in my case, daring to go on Hollywood television.
Yes.
And daring to say no to I just got a job offer. Actually, I got an offer for my first movie and I said no to it.
Because that's a very good point that you made there, because you got given an opportunity that most people say, are you crazy? You should have taken it. But if you're held back, not from the head, but from the gut, from the heart, and it feels, no, it's beautiful that I've been offered this, but this is not right for me. That doesn't mean mm-hmm. that all doors are closed. It just means, you now know that those opportunities are out there, and there will be an mm-hmm. opportunity that will come along that will feel right for the heart, right?
Yes. And that's the thing, right? Saying no to the things that are not coming from within, and the inner voice and the instinct is also saying yes to other possibilities.
Yes, because it's good to know that you've been asked, because they know that you're resonating on that vibration. You just turn up the vibration a little more, and then it will resonate with the people that have more synergy mm-hmm. in what your message is and what you want to do. So a lot of people, but this opportunity may never come again. Not if you close doors on it. But if you say, this one opportunity, I'm very flattered, it's good to know, but I have to find something with an equal opportunity that is more authentic to my message. And that's mm-hmm. and that's that invitation again.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, Sarah, what was interesting is I didn't have to sleep with anybody or pay anybody.
Right. No couch service for you, right?
It just happened.
Yes. Yes.
Because often, I'll get asked for this. Because that's our human nature. What did you have to do to be on, let's say, for this radio or television? I'm like, actually, just show up.
Be yourself. Be yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm gonna talk about something here called boundaries. You are a very exuberant, sexy woman. And, of course, there's going to be an awful lot of men who will get a mixed message on that. They're going to think it's an invitation. And it's an invitation for you to be treated as a whole woman in your beautiful sexual brilliance. It's not an invitation for a lay. And how do you put that boundary around you where they don't get a mixed message, that they're very clear on who you are and what you stand for?
So yes, there's, it's very, very there, because as soon as a woman starts, talking about sex, she becomes an object, right?
Yeah.
She becomes a quick, easy target, if you can call it. In my case, I actually filter all my messages, and I have, I don't respond, because a lot of it happens on social media outrage. I use those negative experiences to have fun with them, so if you see my social media posts, I'll always be making fun of things that are happening right now to me. And again, it's how I choose to look at them. It's how we choose to look at life that will get us out of our down spots, will get us out of our negative energy and people who will bring us down.
Right.
And you know what? I like to hang out alone. That's the best company that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I'm meeting people who are at my own frequency, my own vibration, I'm just, you know, hanging out by myself.
Right.
And that's how I keep myself clean and pure, or, you know, the word, which I work a lot, actually. So it's great for me. But then I love people. So I will, you know, show up at unusual places and things will happen. The other day I was making a video and some guy walking by the street came and joined me on the video. So I was like, yeah, no problem, you know.
Right.
That's great, in the moment.
That's in the moment. That's it. The invitation was there, right? And yeah. I think, as you pointed out, you know, the boundary that you've got around you is, this is the frequency I operate on. If you have any agenda that is below that frequency, the door is closed. You're not invited. If you're on the same frequency or higher, you're welcome, because then I know that your intentions are pure, right?
Absolutely. And this is something also that I've realized. The more I know myself, the more authentic I am.
Yeah.
The more I can make, the better judge I become of, you know, other people's and their characters and their intentions. So it's very, very interesting that I'm going through this myself, and that, again, the stronger we get our inner child to be, our instinct to be, the more our gut works with us. And again, you know, like, there's, so a lot of it also is like work opportunities. People will entice me with work and they'll be like, oh, we want to work with you. Actually, I get offered about boudoir photography all the time.
Mm-hmm,
I'm like, you know what, this is actually not attractive for me, because it's no big deal, right?
Right, exactly. But it might be to the people that you could represent if you did a campaign. I mean, in one of the biggest campaigns, I think, that was so successful is Dove, you know, and having all the different shapes of women all wearing the same clothes and just showing, we're all women. Doesn't matter what our shape is, right? We've all got skin we need to wash, and we love ourselves for who we are. And you know, that's sometimes it is an invitation to embrace, you know, who we are and our own sexuality by seeing somebody else being so confident in it. But again, it has to become something that fits you and that's comfortable for you. I interviewed this Jason Stefanik. I know I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, but he did a wonderful series of This Is My Body, and it's a bunch of women, and it was to do with, I think, are out against abortion and against other people judging how women should be, you know, the bald white men telling women how they should be. And it was a campaign against that this is my body and nobody has the right to do this or do that to it without my permission. And I think this is what we need to do as beautiful, sexy, brilliant women, is to show we can be that beautiful, sexy brilliance, because we're in ownership of our body. You're not.
And to know that, you know what, that we can be sexy, we can be brilliant at the same time.
Yeah.
At the same time. And to embrace it, to embrace our, you know, like our shine that we all have, the shine from within. Brilliant is also, that also means clever and intelligent. And to own our success, to own our ambitions, to own the power that lies within us. And to say it's okay. We don't need other people's approvals to love us. We are enough as we are, in wholeness and completeness.
But you also said something very important, is that you love spending time with yourself. Because a lot of people think, because you're so exuberant, that you're that 24/7. It is because you spend time with yourself, nurturing and energizing yourself, that you can give so much exuberance to other people.
Yes. And, you know, and yes, I take myself out on dates all the time. And, you know, like I'm my own best friend, and I love myself, and I give myself kind hugs and care for myself, and the more I, and of course it's a journey, right? It's a process. I had no self love for myself, and then from there I've grown into this person. And I'm okay to be alone. I'm okay to enjoy this journey, the process, and get to know more about myself, and then that share that with the world and be authentic. And, you know, like, and of course, I mean, I think as human beings, we all want the love and the connection that having other people around us brings and having a partner brings. But then saying no to the wrong fits. And
right.
No to the wrong,
don't know, just do... So many women are with men because they don't want to be alone. But when you're alone with your authentic self, it's a very beautiful place to be. And then you're very sacred in yourself and you only want to have somebody who's going to honor that sacredness mm-hmm, in your life, mm-hmm. right? So is mm-hmm, it, mm-hmm. as you said in one of your statements here, it is absolutely essential. I can't remember where you wrote it, but... here, you know, that... it's somewhere here. Where is it? I don't know. I've lost it now because I did have it here. But it was about the confidence and the love of self. You know, that sacredness. You know, is your own brilliance. That's that empowerment, and you will attract people. I mean, you know, you love going out and taking yourself on dates. I used to do that always. You know, in the last 37 mm-hmm. years, my life has been serving children and other people. This is the first time in 37 years that I'm out serving my own agenda, my own self. And it's mm-hmm. and I used to take myself away, and I just loved landing myself and meeting the people around me. And mm-hmm. you know, and being that invitation of vibration, I'm looking to meet people that are fun, that are loving, that are this and that are that. And it's don't be afraid to explore, right? Don't be afraid yeah. to explore, because it's wonderful.
Yeah, and again, you know, like I have, there's also the dark side, and one of the things that I have done through my dating addiction is I've been on Craigslist looking for dates and, you know, love and relationships. And people ask me, like, why Craigslist? And I'm like, you know, it's my dirty, dark secret. And by the way, there's a video that you can check out on my website for that. But that's okay, too. And you know, we say we attract who we are. So even though I was trolling Craigslist, I just met the most amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we attract who we are. So whether we're alone looking for a relationship or we are looking for a business, you know, a business partner or life partners, we will all attract who we are. So when, you know, when, and this comes back to, I've been in abusive relationships. And at that point in my life, that is exactly what I was going through.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, yeah, they're going to treat you as you're treating yourself. They just might do it more emphatically. But it's only when you raise your own vibration. You know, I remember with my own husband, it was, I've lost the control I had over you. Yes, because I took my control back, right? And so, you know, and I always used to say to him with an argument, the only one that's interested is your mirror. Because yeah. I'm not, right? I did find your little statement here. Self-love is not an option. It's a prerequisite. And it is mm-hmm. absolutely true. But yes, it's if you put out that vibration and not a dictation, right? Putting out an invitational vibration and not a dictation on how that should come to you, what you mm-hmm. need will come to you. You know, we talk about the power of affirmation and positive thinking. And I've done many shows where, you know, they say positive thinking is a hoax. On its own, it is. And you know, everybody's waiting for cosmic Amazon to deliver what they want. Positive thinking and affirmation is an invitation for you to act on what you want, raising that vibration, putting it out there. And I always say, paint a canvas. You know, I want particular things to happen to me or for me in Toronto. So what I have to do is pin to that feeling of how I want to feel. It's not, I want this car, I want this house, I want this, I want that. No, how do I want to feel? Because how I want to feel, the universe will deliver that. And if I step mm-hmm. out of the way of how it's going to be delivered, then it will be delivered to me in the way that I need it. But we're always mm-hmm. dictating what we want. You know, when you ask mm-hmm. people what they want in a party, I don't want this and I don't want that. Who cares what you don't want? Put out what you do want. Mm-hmm. How do you want that person to make you feel?
Yeah. And don't worry about the house.
Yeah.
You know, the house will, it will just happen.
Yes.
You just have to be brave, daring, make the first
yeah.
step, go to Toronto in the middle of winter
yet.
To do it.
And then pop over to Montreal to meet you. Absolutely.
Absolutely. You have a home here, you know?
I'm dying to come and meet you in person. I think we'll probably get into a lot of trouble.
the good kind of travel.
Oh, like, yes, exactly. Is Montreal ready for the two of us? But that's the thing of life, right? You just get out and seize the day.
I'm in Los Angeles right now, but that's okay.
Yeah, right. Enjoy the sun while you can, because winter's coming. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing, like having the yes mentality, saying yes to all possibilities.
Yes, and you know what? You're going to get doubts. Yesterday, I had a couple of things happen to me that kind of threw the spanner in the works. And it was like, oh, shit, am I meant to go? Am I getting mixed messages? Am I getting this and that? And then when I got over myself, and I thought, no, the feeling to go, even though it's not clear as to why, what, but the feeling to go is imperative. I do. Everything else that's kind of coming up as a testing, you know, are you going to back out of this? Are you going to use this as an excuse? It was, no, I'm going to find my way around that, and I'm still going to go.
Exactly. And having doubts is okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes if...
It tests if your conviction, doesn't it?
You know, that too. So, like, we are also allowed to, you know, like, say no to things that don't work for us anymore, right? Like, you know, and I mean, but the thing is to be okay to go with that as well and to go with the flow and to, and in your case, you got over it and, you know, you were like, this is just my mind playing games with me.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes it will happen that we can also say, you know what, I've changed my mind.
Right.
My decision has changed now, and that's okay too.
Oh, I've had plenty of that. I call them redirects. You think you're on the right road and you're heading off to, you know, paradise, and it goes, I'm sorry, we're going to divert you over here now. And you just, you know, take your little backpack over your shoulder and off you go, and you see where they want you to go, right?
Exactly. And be daring. 90% of the success is just showing up.
Yeah, exactly. And just, I think we're so busy, you know, wanting a manual in life. But what's going to happen next? It's like, you know, when you're watching a movie, what happens? Does this happen? Does that happen? Watch the movie. It will be revealed, right? Unraveled. And that's the whole thing about our lives. Why do you want to know what's going to happen next? Because where's the anticipation and the excitement if you know everything that's going to happen?
Yeah, and you know, and also it's like, you know, we talk about mindfulness, we talk about being in the moment. Be here right now.
Yeah.
Be present and know that each of us is a superstar of our own lives.
Right.
Right? Like, we are the stars and we have the power to change how we wish to live, to be seen, to be heard, and to look up, to make the changes. It's us who's responsible for it.
Yeah, the gift of the present is in the now. And if you take care of your now, your next moment will be taken care of. If you're so busy taking care of the next moment, you're missing out on the gift of the now, or the gift of the present, right? So it's really important that we pay attention, because your resolution of who you are, you know, and what you stand for is in your now. You can't bypass it and go, oh, I'm going to put that on the back burner. I don't like that emotion. You've got to go through it. You have to go through it to go to the other side.
Yes. And also, you know what? Like, it takes an effort.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just happen. Like, you know, it's a process, it's a journey, and even mindfulness is to be present is also taking care of ourselves. But it's okay if we struggle or if we have a fallback or if we, you know, are unable to be mindful. That's okay.
Yep.
Life will teach us something, and then we'll go on to the next moment, which is to be mindful again.
Right.
And it's a repetition of doing it again and again. And that's where the laughing comes, you know, laughing 100 times a day.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The more we laugh, the more we are in the now, and we can enjoy the little moments, the darkness, and embrace our darkness.
But physically, also, it releases some endorphins in your body, and it releases stress. And we get so caught up in the anxiety of life that we forget that sometimes all we need to do is have a damn good laugh at it.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like, what? This happened? What? It's like, okay, have a good laugh and move on, because we really do sometimes take ourselves far too seriously.
We do, but that's the stress that we all go through.
Yeah.
And, and then to know that that's part of life, and we can kind of slow down, take care of ourselves, laugh, and then go back to doing what we have to do.
Right. Exactly. Getting on with it. Getting on with being sexy and brilliant and starting a revolution just like you're doing. How to embrace life with both hands. Yes. So having said that, love, how do people find you? What are you offering? What can you do for them? Please do share.
So the best way to find me is sexybrilliant.com. And I actually have a book coming out soon. So anybody listening in has the option of getting the book for free. It's my first book. So sexybrilliant.com. I'm very, very big on social media too. So it's Devina, Devina. And then last name is Kaur. I would love to connect with you on my personal Facebook and, of course, on all social media. And I'm big on Instagram too, Sarah. By the way, that's the way. I highly encourage you to look at.
I hate Instagram.
Yeah, I guess
It's on this tiny little phone I've got to read, and you really can't interact the same way. Sorry, I'm just not in love with Instagram.
It's different. It's different. Yeah. So sexybrilliant.com, and I would love, if you guys have questions, please message us, because both. All of us are here to grow, and we're growing in this journey together of self-discovery,
right.
Self-love. And then, I also have more television coming, more reality TV coming, first book coming in the Sexy Brilliant series.
So you're ready to launch. You're at the starting point, waiting for that gun to go off, and out the gate you'll go.
Yes, and you know what? This is it. This is the thing. I'm a perfectionist.
let go of that.
Yeah. So I'm learning to let go of the control so I can make this happen, make the book launch come.
Right.
So it's a journey. We're all on this together.
Yep.
And I embrace you. Give yourself to our listeners. Give yourself a kind hug. Love yourself. We love you. Thank you for tuning in.
And, just a note there on the perfectionism. The perfectionism is by, you wanting to put something out in the way that you think others perceive it. But when you put something out in all honesty of who you are, things can always be redone. But if you're a perfectionist, sometimes it becomes an excuse in not doing. So, understand where that perfectionism coming out. And also what's perfect to you is different to someone else. When you put something out heartfelt, I'm always putting things out. Oh, that could look better. I can change it up. And that's the whole point. But just do it. You can rectify
just
it later,
it.
But just do it. Right?
Just
because
do it.
If we're
yeah.
always waiting for the perfect moment or the perfect time or the perfect this, the perfect that, you're going to be always waiting for perfection, and then you're going to always stay behind.
That's right. I thank you for that. And, it's happening. I'm getting out of my own way.
Right. Good. Good. Good to hear that.
Yeah.
Let yourself out of the gate, love, and just go. See where it takes you. We need some of your exuberance in the world. We need some of your happy in the world. And we certainly need to have our own sexy brilliance switched on. Imagine, women, the empowerment of women today is absolutely extraordinary, and the sisterhood and the coming together. But imagine that we step into our sexy brilliance as well. Look out, world. It's not going to be the same.
Absolutely, and that we can each be sexy and be brilliant at the same time.
Right.
And embrace it. Embrace our sexuality, embrace our ambitions, our cleverness, our brilliance, our shine, and weave it into our lives to the best of, the best way we can.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Honestly, openly, unapologetically, and, vibrationally and invitationally. So that most certainly is where we need to be. Thank you so much for being with us here today, Devina. It's been a blast.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody listening in. met us. We want to hear from you.
Yes, definitely. And I'm certainly going to be having her back as I'm talking to her. I've got two or three people I want to do a round table with her with. And so Davina will be back. And who knows what we're going to be hearing from her next. Hold on.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, love. And to everyone else, remember, life is about living. It's about stepping into the now, into the brilliance of life. It's about feeling sexy and sensual and in touch with oneself. You know, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. If you're being honest and true to yourself and you're not doing it for somebody else's approval, but as an expression of who you are, that is the most beautiful thing you can ever give to yourself and everyone else. So until next time, folks, bye for now.